This is HPR episode 2401 entitled Music Theory Harakiri. It is hosted by the dude and is about 16 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is a show on music theory and figuring out what viewers on here actually want with a music theory show.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
All right, how are you guys doing? This is the dude here, going to be talking about some music theory, but before I get into that, I just want to say sorry for not continuing the tick conspiracy. I got really busy over the summer with music projects, so therefore I didn't really have time to podcast, but now I pretty much kind of do. Not that my music projects are gone, but stuff's kind of calmed down a little bit. But anyway, I'm not quite sure what Hacker Public Radio expects from a music theory show or not, but I guess talk about the basics at first, you know. We have shall we say the definition of music theory is pretty much, and this is just me explaining this off the top of my head, how people write music and the possibilities that you can have with writing music. And I like to start with clefs, which aren't necessarily show you what key something's in, but it definitely shows which octave range. There's three main clefs. There's bass and treble, which are the two most common. And then you also have the tenor clef, also known as the C clef, because it helps you find middle C. But anyway, this is going to be hard to describe without, you know, showing it via video or anything, but I'm going to start off with how to read each clef and the different techniques to, you know, pretty much read music, because learning how to, like, read where the notes are essential step one for music theory. But anyway, we're going to start with the treble clef, because that's usually what everybody starts with. Now, the treble clef is also known as the G clef, because it actually helps you find G. And the treble clef is that one, when you look at sheet music, it's the one that looks like a weird F figure eight. And the cool thing about that, the reason why it's called G clef is because it helps you find the note of G. And that curly Q that's in the middle of the thing will go through the G line. Sometimes it'll just touch it, but if they're fancy, it goes a little bit over. I mean, not over, but under it. And that's how you find that. And then you can just go alphabetically from space to line, space to line, space to line. And then you can do that backwards as well. However, if that's a little bit too difficult for you, you can always think of the damn it, I can't remember what the heck they're called, but it's where you use a phrase to remember a pattern. And remember the pattern, every good boy does fine. And that will tell you the notes that are on each line, which would go E, G, B, D, and F. And then for the spaces is FACE, which spells out face. So you got that right there. And usually that helps me remind that. So every good boy does fine, and face. All right, for the bass clef, that's the one that looks like a squiggly line with like two dots. Now, the cool thing is that it's also known as the F clef, which helps you find F. And the line that's between the two dots will be F. So you can go alphabetically up and alphabetically in reverse to find each note for each space and line that way. And again, with the mnemonics, that's what it is. So yeah, mnemonics. The mnemonic for that, for the lines, is good boys do fine always. So you go from G all the way up to A. So you have good, which, yeah, good G. All right, boys B. So G, B, fine. That's F. So G, F. Sorry, no, not good boys do fine. Sorry. It's G, D, B, D, F, and then A for that. And then for the spaces, it's all cars eat gas, or all cows eat grass. I'll go with all cows eat grass because that makes more sense. But anyway, it's A, C, E, G for the spaces. And usually you'll have like your baritones and, you know, basses, because obviously it's the bass clef. The lower instruments or lower voices will go off a of bass. And then for treble, that'd be your higher instruments and your higher voices. Now there is one more clef, like I said, the tenor clef, the C clef. That helps you find middle C. It's the clef looks like a line, and there's like a reverse three. But anyway, in the middle line that breaks the thing in halves, the line that's touching the middle of it will be middle C. And then, you just go alphabetically up from there and down from there. Now, I don't have any mnemonics for that one because it's not used commonly. So, my guess to you is if you can't think of going up or down with the notes, my suggestion is come up with your mnemonic, and that will really help. All right, next thing I should also talk about is ledger lines, and those are lines that aren't on like the lines that are provided in sheet music. They're notes that are added with like a something that looks like a hyphen. You know, they just add a little bit up top because they go off of what's the lines and spaces provided. With those, you're pretty much gonna have to go up the or down the alphabet to figure those out. Although I will say at the bottom of the scale for the treble clef, if there is a note with like a line through it, just one on the bottom, way on the bottom of the clef, that's middle C. And you to remember that it's like Saturn C. And that should really help. And the stuff above, I know there's other names that you can come up with everything on there, so that would really help you to identify each thing, or at least to memorize each thing if you give each little note that's on ledger lines a name. But anyway, let's see, what else can I think of? I think I should also talk about like time signatures, since well, first I should probably talk about notes before time signatures. That way, each note, you know what it is to help you with the time signatures. Anyway, we have different types of notes. You have like the colored in dot with like a line without any flags. That is a quarter note. The reason why it's called a quarter note, because in standard 4/4 time, it's one beat and it takes four for an entire measure. And then what a measure is a pretty much like a group of notes, and the end of a measure, they usually split it off into like lines. It's different sections of like a piece of music. That's really, I can say in my own words. I'm pretty sure there's a more complicated definition out there if you really want to look that up. But anyway, we're back to the quarter note. Now, if the dot's not filled in, it is a half note. And if it's just like the dot that's open, then it is a whole note. So that'd be like one, two, and then four. So each is divided. So there's two quarter notes and a half note, oh, and four quarter notes and a whole note. And depending, Ellen, when you look at it, there's flags on some that are just like the quarter notes that are filled in with flags. If there's one, it's an eighth note. If there's two, it's a 16th note. And you just keep on dividing after each flag. But anyway, now that's being said, Ellen, I've already talked about the measure. We're going to go into time signatures. We're going to explain with like 4/4. 4/4 means that there's four notes, not really four notes, but four beats per measure. So that's how many like rhythmic pulses, I guess I can say, but an example of like, you know, pretty much, you know, if I could beat, you know, with 4/4, it'd be like four beats per measure. Sorry, I'm mumbling, but I'm kind of holding on to my microphone here with my mouth. So hold on a second, like this would be 4/4. So yeah, one, two, three, four. All right, Ellen, that would be four beats. Now, to figure out which note counts as one beat, that'd be the other four. So 4/4, you'd have four beats per measure, Ellen, which note gets the counted as one beat, and with there's and within 4/4, it is the quarter note that gets one beat. Now, if we had it as like 4/2, then the half note would be one beat. And with that being said, that is pretty much the basics of music theory. Hopefully, I'll be able to do this more often and go into more detail with the different music theory stuff. I also encourage others to give me suggestions on exactly what to do with like the music theory thing. Like, is it just to explain like different music theory concepts, make it as like a music theory tutorial that I kind of did at first, or pretty much talk about like music that has like weird takes upon music theory. So let me know. But anyway, I am the dude, so I'll see you guys in the next episode.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.